fans, it's another edition of the Falcon Cast here on AtlantaFalcons.com or iTunes or wherever you happen to be listening to us. Jay Adams here with DJ Shockley and Brian Bosek. John Michaels is,
living a high life, man. He's just living a high life.
So busy. He gets hired by 92.9, and he is doing a meet and greet.
How you doing? I'm John Michaels, right, Miami's now. Finest.
A meet and greet. I don't know what all that entails, but John couldn't be here this week. I couldn't be here last week. So the Falcon Cast crew has kind of been a skeleton crew here for a couple of weeks now. We apologize for that, certainly. Bosek's got a cough, so he's just going to – yeah, I know. There's pollen all over.
Right, you guys got to excuse my voice, too. I just came back from – spring break with my kids, vacationing. We were down at it's called the Wilderness down in Sevierville, Tennessee, something like that.
Wilderness so at the Smokies.
Yeah, you know, you know about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
They had to go to the one in the Dells.
They had an indoor water park with everything you would want in there. Big, huge slides, wave pools.
You
all
a water
kind
slide
of stuff.
Guy?
Oh, I did. Oh yeah, no doubt.
Oh, me too.
You know how it says at least 42 inches if your kids get on.
Yeah.
Obviously, my little guy, he's not 42 inches. But I saw other guys. I was like, man, look at this other kid. He's up here. So I go get my little guy. We get up there. I put him in, and he's practically falling through the little, thing you got to sit in.
Yeah.
The lady goes, he's 42 inches? I said, he's good.
Yeah. 43 and a half.
So it was fun. I did a lot of yelling over the past few days, so I got scratchy voices.
You're good. I just got back from Nashville. So we were in the same state at the same time, so at least we had that going for us.
You were singing a little bit, huh? You
it wasn't, it wasn't
gotta
exactly
sing,
you and John Michaels meeting up in Las Vegas, but I was in Nashville for the NFL digital media meetings, which were always fun. It's really cool to get around, people from 31 other teams who do the same things you do, and swap ideas and things like that. And, of course, fellowship. And by fellowship, I mean drink heavily. And
what else are you going to do? I mean, fellowship is having a good time.
It's Nashville.
Nash
Vegas.
You got to have a good time.
We had a great time. Guys, I bought cowboy boots.
Ooh. No way.
Yes,
you got
I did.
Some boots?
Wow.
I did. I bought cowboy boots.
You should have worn them.
I did not wear them today because I got to break them in. I had been wearing dressy shoes all week, and today I was just like, I'm just going sneakers. But these cowboy boots may change my life. I may have found a new look and hobby for myself.
Oh,
because let me tell you something.
So you say they look good on you. That's
they
what
look
you said.
Good on me. They look, I'm a cowboy boot kind of guy.
You kind of stand up and look down to the side of you and be like, yeah.
So I learned a little bit about myself this week in Nashville. And the other thing I learned was that you go on Broadway there, where it's all happening in Nashville. And there are boot stores like crazy. And the boots are beautiful and well done.
Beautiful?
And very expensive. But I was like, oh, this opened a whole new door in my life. So
they're actually comfortable and everything. Huh?
Yes, comfortable. I love the way they look. I wear a bootcut jean most times. Most times you see me, you'll see me in a bootcut jean anyway.
No idea what that is. Explain the
bootcut
jean.
The jean is a little bit wider down near the bottom so that it accounts for the boot.
Gotcha. So you can get it over top of the boot. Gotcha. So you're not the guy that's wearing the slim or the skinny leg jeans.
No, I don't know if you
those would not work
me,
for the boots, right?
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about these boots. I'm gonna wear them whenever I can, especially on wood floors because they're gonna make that real hard clicking sound. I don't know, man. I was telling our director of football communications, Brian Kearns, that there's something that changes in me when I put those boots on. It's like a confidence just comes over me in those
boots. Are you somebody else? Do you have another name for yourself? You have a
I don't know. I need
you're
to
not
be like
Jay
a,
anymore, you turn into
no,
Johnny
I need
or
to
something.
Be Tex Rothstein or something.
Tex.
I don't even know. Let's have people tweet in some suggestions for me.
Oh, that's awesome.
But
you gotta
so
you gotta tweet out the picture of them so they have an idea.
Yeah.
Of where to go.
So I'll tweet out those boots. Those boots are beautiful.
Are they red? Beautiful. Are they black?
No, they are black boots. Falcons Kelsey Conway got red boots.
Did she? I knew
Kelsey
someone.
Got
knew
red.
And Brian Kern's got some brown boots, so we all came home with boots.
What about Dan Levac?
Dan Levac did not. We were trying to talk him into chaps.
Dan, come on, Dan.
We did not get him into chaps. And
come on, everybody has to join it. Come on, Dan. What's
I know, up with that? I know, but it's all right. We came back. I think we're all very tired, which is why this Falcon Cast is late. We got back on Thursday night, and so here we are Friday afternoon. So
don't matter, man. We get it done, baby.
You're getting the freshest of the freshest news here with the three of us today, and that includes the preseason opponents slash sort of kind of schedule-ish thing that came out on Thursday afternoon. The Falcons for the preseason slate will be at home versus Washington, at Cleveland, at Miami, and then back home versus your favorite and mine, the Jacksonville Jaguars, for the fourth preseason game. Third game at Miami, that all-important third game, is going to be very interesting because it is a national game. It'll be on NBC, 8 p.m. The whole nation will be able to see what you're doing in the preseason during a game where you're going to start most of your players for quite a while.
One thing that I get to look at now has nothing to do with the game. It has something to do with the game, but Kyle Shanahan gets to go against two of his former teams.
You know, I heard people making a big deal out of that.
You know, it's the preseason, but still.
No, but still.
I guarantee you, coaches have the same mind frame as players. If I went to another team and I get to play them, I don't care if it's preseason or regular season, here's what you miss. That's how I think. I don't know if Kyle. I know Kyle's got a bigger picture. He's going to be looking, trying to get his team better, his offense moving in the right direction. But this is what you guys are missing over here. Look at all the stuff we're doing in Atlanta. That's what he's.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, he's not going to admit it. But I
don't buy that. I'm disagreeing with you here, Shock, because I don't know that as an offensive coordinator, if you're taking pride in beating, you know, Johnny quarterback from San Jose State in the fourth quarter against Washington.
You're not playing the players. You're playing the whole entire.
You're playing the logo.
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess that's one way to look at it.
Going to get to see RG3 again in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so hey, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, you got a couple things going on there. It's just preseason, but guess what? There's not much you can talk about in preseason. So. You got to look for storylines.
I think the story.
And I got one already.
Yeah, you do. You definitely do. I think the storyline here for me is that, you know, you're going up against a Washington team that's kind of trying to find an identity still. Cleveland's still trying to find an identity. Miami starting to trying to find an identity now with a new coach. And then
Jaguars on the rise.
They were the third game. The Jacksonville game was the third game because it would be a really good measuring stick for this Falcons team to see how they stack up against a very changed, very different Jacksonville team.
Especially with all the money they've spent already this offseason.
With the money they've spent this offseason, you got Dante Fowler coming back from an injury, and we have yet to even get to the draft and see what they do there. So Jacksonville's a team on the rise, it looks like, but unfortunately a lot of those marquee players will probably be wearing nothing but T-shirts and hats on the sidelines because that's usually what the fourth preseason game is like. But anything else jump out at you about this, guys, other than the fact that, man, we get another trip and get to go to South Beach?
I know Joe Michaels would be pretty excited about going to Miami.
I'm a little disappointed he's not here to talk about this because he loves a free trip home to Miami.
No doubt about it.
The thing that jumped out to me was that the only two dates that we have scheduled are two Thursday games. And isn't typically Friday, Saturday games in the preseason?
Yeah, so here's how this works is, you know, the preseason is a little fluid once the kind of opponents get announced. And you can kind of work with your – because largely you're going to be working with your own local television. So games that – the three games that are not on NBC locally here will be shown on CW69 in Atlanta – And so, you know, you work with your TV stations, you work with the stadium, and you have, I think, a two-week period now where you can kind of determine your time and date and submit it to the league, and the league will approve it. And so that's kind of fluid at this point. So that's why you've got some TBD there. That stuff's going to get filled in here over the next couple of weeks. So, you know, that's pretty common. But, you know, because the league kind of lets you do your own thing in the preseason, it's not something that they don't mandate a date or a time for some of this stuff unless it's a national game.
One thing
and
I
then,
do.
And then, oh, sorry. And then the final game, you can always, if you're going to play on in the national game on Saturday or whatever, you can always deduce when the fourth preseason game is going to be because it's always that Thursday.
So that, the national game week. Is Saturday.
Nice.
Because on here, it's 8:25, it's a Thursday.
Thursday, sorry. Oh, okay. I don't know. You can What I'm saying is that if you know which week is the third week of the preseason, you can figure out what date your final game That's is cool. going to be. So it'll be September 1st. We don't have a time yet, but, you know, that Thursday is that game, and then cuts start Friday and Saturday and go into Sunday, and then Monday you're getting into the regular season. So that's how that goes.
Should be fun time.
You know what?
Great add-ins.
I like You know what? I like the fact you're playing some different guys here. Usually, we always play Jacksonville, one of those, you know, Florida teams, Jackson, Miami. But I like the fact you're playing a Washington, you're playing a Cleveland, playing a team that's actually Cleveland, who's going to have a new head coach. You're going to see what they're about. He's obviously he's going to get the most out of his players because they're still trying to prove themselves to him in the game. So you're going to get to see a real good look of what this team could possibly be. Obviously, that third game means the most to you. But coming out the gate with Washington and Cleveland, two teams who definitely have something to prove. They're going to Kirk Cousins obviously coming back. You know, they put the tender on him, big money on him. So he's you probably won't see as much like you do with Madden in that first game. You'll see a little bit of him. But I like the fact you get to play against some teams that you're not really used to. You don't see them all the time. We don't see much of Cleveland. We saw them last year, 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
You don't see them too often. The Redskins obviously is a team that you watch and you see them a lot. But I like the fact you got Washington and Cleveland on the schedule. You don't really play a lot.
The thing I like about Cleveland is you mentioned RG3, but I think what you got to think about is
Alex
that you're going to have Alex Mack. Yeah, you're going to have a chance to potentially play one of the top quarterbacks in the draft because, you know, Cleveland sitting there near the top of the draft, so everybody's got them got them going after like a Carson Wentz kind of guy, and depending on how your training camp shakes out, you might start in RG3 and then let a guy like a Carson Wentz play the rest of the way and see how he does. And so that could be kind of fun for, you know, again, it's the preseason. We got to look for these little slivers of excitement where we can. I think that would be kind of cool to see the Falcons defense against a very young and very inexperienced quarterback who will only be playing in his second preseason game. So that could be one to watch.
But the good thing is the Falcons, we don't really know what's happening in the draft yet, but obviously with all the offseason stuff that you've happened on defense, it'll be good to see what you can do versus even if it is a rookie quarterback or even if it's RG3, you want to see what this defense has versus two different types of quarterbacks because you're going to see different types of quarterbacks in your own division. So you want to see what the pass rush looks like. You want to see what the linebackers, how they're flowing. You want to see what happens, you know, we end up drafting guys in the secondary, obviously at safety, or if you don't draft a guy at linebacker, how they play against these different type of players that you're going to see. Like you said, playing against a rookie kind of things that, you know, they want to do to put him in positions to win because they're not going to put him out there and force things. They're going to make sure that they play him in solid areas and see what he's about. So it's going to be a good test for your defense.
And especially with that Cleveland offense, they're going to be looking for playmakers at the wide receiver position. That's for sure because they certainly lost a couple. You know, Josh Gordon's future is anything but certain at this point. So you're going to be spending that preseason identifying some of your big target guys down the field. So that game will be important for Cleveland. It'll of course be important for us as well as we continue our evaluations. But you know, when the preseason schedule or at least the opponents get announced, you can pretty much bet that the regular season schedule is right around the corner.
I saw you guys put up something on Twitter about you could pick the
Yeah, we've got
schedule. How's
the schedule
that going?
Well, it's going great, but it ends today. So you better get, if you're going to enter that with a chance to win 50,000 big ones, you better get your guesses in.
Every
now.
Single game.
You
got to
get every game
team.
Right at, you know.
Oh, at and away.
At and away. Or home and away.
Oh,
you got to get them all right.
At and away. That's a good one.
The odds are long, but let me tell you something. You get it. All it takes is a chance, and, you know.
So you submit, like, 20 of them?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Like, submit, like, 20 different scenarios?
Yeah, but the number of combinations, you can, I mean, you could still lose all 20 very easily.
Yeah.
Honestly, so we did it last year. I think the farthest anybody got was week three, and that was the
winner. That's it, really?
They won season tickets for the year. Yeah,
they only got to season three. Week three.
Only got to week three. That's tough, and
that's tough
to do.
It is
tough to do, man. I couldn't sit here and come up with it.
I remember. Well, was it last year? I remember we didn't have a division game till like 7, 8, or 9.
It was a while. We won the NFC East before we did anything else last season. You know. So looking forward to the regular season schedule, I think you can probably deduce that. Boy, you know, if I had to guess, now the league
if they
won't
keep it
give
how
you
they,
a date.
If they keep it how they do, you think you end with a NFC
Well, of course, yeah.
Obviously, so.
Yeah, of course. But as far as the actual announcement goes, if I know the NFL like I do, I'm going to guess that Thursday the 14th is the best possible chance for them to announce that. Usually it'll be a big deal at an 8 p.m. Eastern. They'll put a show on the NFL Network and announce all the schedules and things like that. That is not a concrete date. I'm just pulling that one out of the air. But
with the big matchup, the big
usually,
Thursday night game.
Yeah, you can kind of figure out which ones are or when the announcement's going to come out. If it's not next week, it's definitely going to be the week after because they got to get it out there before the draft.
You know what? Yeah, it's definitely before the draft. I remember when I was going through the draft, I go to Tampa. Gruden's in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting in the room, and the schedule had just come out. So it's before the draft, and I remember Gruden knew I was from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, yeah. Shockley, I see you back there, Atlanta guy. We got these doggone – he didn't say doggone, but he said we got them Falcons coming up in week one. We're going to kick their freaking
Wow.
This was before the draft, so that's how I remember it. I definitely comes out for the draft, like you mentioned.
Yeah, we'll have a very good idea of what's happening. You know, if you're not familiar with the regular season opponents for the Falcons, it is a tough slate this year.
I like it.
You've got 1, 2, 3, 4. Four of your 8 road games are on the West Coast. You're going to Los Angeles, to Seattle, to Denver, to Oakland. We've already heard rumblings that, you know, Dan Quinn wants to spend at least a week out in on the West Coast just to kind of keep the travel to a minimum so you're not doing West Coast trips, West Coast flights. You're maybe limiting that, and you spend a week
fun,
out there in practice.
And
look, I can't – let me tell you what. I'm not mad if we end up spending a week in Seattle or Denver or L.A.
No way,
yeah.
Oakland, at least you can go into San Francisco.
You're not going to stay too much in Oakland, I know.
Probably
that.
Not.
You may want to stay out of Oakland.
But these
are good away games, though. Philly, Oakland, Denver, Seattle, L.A. You get to go out to L.A. for the first time with, you know.
Yeah,
the Rams being out there,
and
I think it was an awesome away game.
It's gonna be really cool, but it's gonna be challenging because you get a lot of travel this year. We kind of been blessed over the years where we haven't had too many of these West Coast trips. So maybe we'll have one a season, maybe two, but now you've got four, and that's gonna be really really tough because from a logistics standpoint, when you talk about if the league doesn't do you any favors by putting two of your West Coast games back-to-back and you can't stay out there for a week, then you're talking about four flights out to the West Coast and back. If you do get lucky that way, then you got to start thinking about the logistics of where you're practicing.
Yeah.
You know, you're not just taking your whole travel crew for a game. You got to take your whole practice crew. You got to take everything, all the equipment, all of that stuff. So that'll be an interesting storyline as we get there.
You know what else is interesting to me is over the past few years, The only thing I can game I can think of was when the Falcons played Green Bay and it was pretty cold. That was the only time I think we've ever played a cold game for the last 3-4 years at least where it's been really cold. And depending on how the schedule sets up, if you get Seattle or you get Denver later, you get Philly late,
Denver,
you know.
Philly.
So it just depends. But over the last, you know, 3-4 years, the Falcons have been pretty good about not having to play in real, real cold weather where you see other teams going out and it's freaking 10 degrees.
Let me tell you, I'm going to make a bold prediction here, guys. I'm going to make a bold
prediction.
Hold on.
Ring the bell.
I could see the Falcons playing in the NFL season opener at Denver in week one.
Huh.
In prime time.
Like last year, primetime game, starting the game off right.
That's what I'm saying. Super Bowl champs usually play the first game of the NFL season by themselves in prime time.
And you know what? You know what goes into that is having star power on both teams. That goes a long way. There's plenty of star power here in Flowery Branch.
It would be an intriguing matchup. You've got a Denver team that is missing some of its stars from the team that just won the Lombardi.
They don't know who's playing quarterback.
You don't know who's playing quarterback, so you got to spice it up somehow. Maybe a potentially
Mark Sanchez make it intriguing?
I like it.
I don't know. Did he make Week One intriguing last year? We played them last year.
Yeah.
I don't even know who was
Bradford. Bradford's more intriguing.
Okay,
than Sanchez,
so Sanchez though. Didn't make it intriguing.
Yeah. I don't know,
saying.
Man. You know, but that's a.
That's my bold prediction. I'm going to say
week one at Denver.
I'm going to say at least the Falcons are in the conversation to be a part of the NFL season opener. But I could see Falcons at Denver week one, prime time, only show in town.
You know how electric that'd be?
That'd be awesome.
That'd be nuts.
Man. It would be awesome.
Great.
It would be
a great
really,
game
really
for
cool.
our fans in Denver to go to as well.
Yes, it would be.
I've never been to Denver. You guys been to Denver before?
Never been to Denver, but I hear amazing
it's
things.
It's gorgeous out there.
It'd be awesome.
I would move there if I could. It's gorgeous out there.
Well, you're not leaving.
No, I'm not leaving.
don't
gorgeous
think about
out there.
That stuff.
Don't think about it.
It's gorgeous.
But then at home, you're going to get Arizona, San Francisco, Kansas City, San Diego, and Green Bay visiting. Those are your non-division games. And, of course, you know, you've got – one and one with all your division opponents who,
those are gonna be
by
tough.
The way, are extremely competitive and tough with you in this division. So
playing everybody on the West Coast, huh?
This Frank, schedule, geez. You're coming off of a year where you statistically had the easiest schedule to one where, I mean, you've got to be in the top three at least in strength of schedule here. This is a strong schedule. The Falcons are going to have their work cut out for them in a lot of different ways. I think at this point, when you're waiting on the schedule to come out, I think you just hope it falls in a way that is at least favorable to you, and that, you know, you don't have too many back-to-back trips. If you do, like I said, it's one of those West Coast ones where you can just spend the week out there. You hope you don't get the dreaded three straight, because we got that last year. That's not fun, but. You know, I could see the Falcons ending up with the Carolina in week 17, whether it's here or there.
When I look at it, I hope you don't end up with a schedule where you got some two or three or four back-to-back just schlobbernacker games. Like, you play Arizona, you play Green Bay, you play Seattle, all those, you know, like three teams back-to-back-to-back. You know, no team in the NFL is a pushover, but – we know some teams are a little bit tougher than others.
Yep.
And to have a stretch where you may play Arizona, Green Bay, Seattle would be really tough, and then come back and play a divisional opponent. I mean, there's just the mental and physical, you know, breakdown would be tough. So you got to hope that.
You're going to have that, though. I think we
got to happen, right?
With the
number schedule.
Of quality opponents that you have on this list, mm-hmm. you're gonna have that one block of the schedule that you're gonna have to circle off.
And Oakland came on last year.
Oh, yeah.
Derek Carr's playing really well.
That team is so on the rise; it's not even funny.
My man, Coach Musgraves, the OC out there running things.
Oakland absolutely is a playoff contender this year. So you've got some improved teams that used to be dogs. You got Los Angeles, who's got Todd Gurley. So you got to figure out how to stop him. You got to figure out how to stop Aaron
Carson
Donald.
Palmer in Arizona. He's going to be thinking about, I got to get back to, they were on the roll last year. So
you have some big, big tasks ahead of you in this 2016 season. So, to get all the fans excited out there about,
You got some great games this year.
It's going to be competitive, but, going to be also some tough sledding at times. So,
regarding the schedule, I want to ask you guys one more question.
All right.
Jay, you think that a primetime game could be Denver Falcons season opener. Aside from that, what other game do you guys think would be our primetime or multiple primetime games?
I could see.
I think they give you another Carolina game because you're the only team. Well, last year, the regular season to beat Carolina.
Right.
So you give one of those primetime games.
Your Thursday night game, if it's not that that season opener, your Thursday night game is probably going to be either a Carolina or New Orleans traditionally.
Right.
I think you've got a shot at a
maybe one of the West Coast because you one get of the Thursday and you get a little rest.
The Seattle game, the Oakland game, I could see that potentially being primetime.
Seattle would be nice. Even
Arizona, I could see Arizona being a primetime game at home. Green Bay, I could see. I mean, there's some good choices here.
A lot of
offensive
firepower. They like that kind of stuff.
A couple of years ago, we came out with the schedule. We had like four primetime games. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see. Even despite the way the Falcons kind of finished things off last year, 8-8, I could still see a lot of the networks finding a lot of intrigue with this Falcons team. And wanting to feature them against some of these other very quality opponents in primetime. So it wouldn't surprise me to see a handful.
I'd like to see that.
I think, like you mentioned, the intrigue of people wanting to see a Julio Jones, people wanting to see a Devontae from see Matt throw it to Julio, see what year two has under Dan Quinn in his defense. We saw improvements go from last in the league last year to middle of the pack this year, and depending on what happens in the draft, the Falcons could definitely be an intriguing team to look at, like you mentioned, for, I think, more than one primetime game as it was then last year.
Absolutely. And for those of you people who are out of market now, there was some interesting news this week that came out that the NFL has partnered with Twitter to live stream some games this year, which, the details have yet to really be fully fleshed out and all that, but I know a lot of you who are not in the Atlanta area or not in Georgia don't get to see your team all that much are going to have a chance to potentially see your team on Twitter. So if you don't have a Twitter account, you might want to get one of those.
So you can literally just watch the game on Twitter?
That's what they're saying, man.
Click the link and you're watching it, huh?
Yeah, it was all the buzz at the NFL digital meetings. Very cool partnership that I think is going to be, I think the NFL always makes great strides in trying to limit the number of illegal feeds out there. As somebody sets up their cell phone and then broadcast to, what is it, Justin TV or whatever, and you're watching an illegal feed. I think this way you know that people are going to be watching and consuming your games online any way they can. Why not make it
easy? Let me pose a question to you guys. You guys are into the media world, and how much do you think it's going to take away from people actually going to games when they say, all right, well, I got to choose between going here or I can go to a game or I can just watch it on my phone somewhere?
I think that's a big challenge for not just NFL teams, but any team in any league, is that the at-home experience now is in some ways better than the in-stadium experience. That's why when you talk about these new stadiums that are coming up out of the ground, you're talking about some pretty impressive things that are going to be inside the stadium, because people who are coming up with the ideas SAT here. The people who are coming up with the ideas for these stadiums have to think about the fact that you've got to compete with the at-home experience. The at-home experience can, you've got a big screen, maybe you've got a couple big screens. You've got the NFL Network or NFL Game Day package.
Being able to move freely.
Move freely. Yeah. You've got your fantasy team on the Wi-Fi on your iPad.
That's another thing.
iPad.
Mercedes-Benz making, the stadium.
Right. Exactly. There's going to be a fantasy football lounge within Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You've got all these.
Even internet friendly, because sometimes you go there.
It's going to be extremely connected to the outside world. So you've got all these things that are being taken into account. And I know that, you know, down in Dallas, you know, Jerry Jones took that stuff into account. In Minnesota, they took that stuff into account. So now these venues are being built with that in mind of creating a unique game day experience. And I know from day one, when the stadium was first announced as staff here, the whole idea behind it was change the way you think about game day. That was always the challenge, and I think there's been some cool stuff that's come out of that that I think will ultimately make you want to go and experience a game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium versus staying home. But that's the thing, man. We're all so connected that we almost don't even need to leave the room.
That's why I brought that up. Yeah.
Wait for the next year. The next year, I guarantee you, we're all walking around with virtual reality sets. It's coming. Virtual reality is coming fast and furious.
Well, it's like they have the glasses where you can watch, you know, a little TV in your glasses.
That never really
so
caught
much.
On.
Not really.
But what people are really looking at is stuff like the Oculus Rift, where you
what
or yeah.
what
oh yeah what? No, but I mean,
sound like Spanish
technology where you actually take your cell phone, plug it into this device that attaches to your head, and you are, as you turn your head, you're watching. So you could be, if when you look straight, you're watching the game on your phone. If you look left, you can maybe see all the game stats. If you look right, maybe see.
This is real right now.
This is stuff that's coming down the pipe,
no
man.
No way.
I mean, so you've got to think about all the different things that, you know. If you look right, maybe there's your fantasy team. It's all based on how your head moves and all that stuff. And so all that stuff that we saw in 80s movies growing up about like virtual reality and stuff like that.
Like, man, we're gonna be so disconnected from people.
We're
man.
Gonna be so connected that we're gonna be disconnected. That's where we're headed. So,
true, man.
But it's going to be kind of interesting with this Twitter deal and to see you know, how much more available the NFL is going to be this season. Anything else in NFL news this week? I know there was some rookie symposium news. You know, I don't know. They're changing that around. I don't think much
else, just because of you know, how close it is to the draft and everything. Not really anything going on. Guys getting ready.
Yeah.
Getting ready. I mean, you guys watch Dancing with the Stars with, you know, Tony and Bond and all those guys.
When I was home 2 weeks ago with my parents, my mom watches that show religiously, and so of course, you know, I had to sit there and watch it. And so I saw
how they do.
I saw Von Miller. I saw Antonio Brown. Von Miller apparently passes a whole lot of gas during his dancing.
I read an article about that.
And he gets fined for it.
He gets fined $100 by his dancers with it. So that's thrilling television. but I will say, Von Miller is not a bad dancer. When I guess
who's better, him or Antonio?
Probably him. Yeah, really? Von's better.
Really?
Antonio's struggling was struggling. I watched one show. What do I know?
And they crushed him? They crushed him on the one show?
I don't know that they crushed him, but they expected more out of him. Somebody so agile.
Agile? Oh, yeah.
When are you going to do Dancing with the Stars?
Never.
Come on, Shaq.
Never.
If they asked you, would you do it?
I'm not the dancer, man.
You wouldn't do it?
I'm not the dancer.
Would you do any reality TV show?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's up in the air. Has to be the right situation, man.
Understandable.
TV. I mean, would you guys ever do reality TV?
It would have to be the right situation.
Right.
Like,
it has
I'm
to
not
be something
doing,
right.
I'm not doing like Naked and Afraid, okay? I'm not doing that stuff where you put me out in the woods with no clothes. I'm not doing that stuff.
I'll
do Survivor.
No.
Really?
No. I'll do The Biggest Loser.
Never seen that.
You're supposed
you've
to
never
laugh.
Seen that?
That's supposed to be funny.
No, not funny. Not funny. Okay. You don't need The Biggest Loser.
I know I don't. That's why it's funny.
Doing it already. I need The Biggest Loser.
Survivor,
get out of here, man.
Yeah.
I have actually, I've applied to be a canvas on either the show.
A canvas?
Yeah. the tattoo shows. What?
Oh yeah.
Ink Master.
Ink Master. Thank you. I've applied for that, and I've applied for Tattoo Nightmares. And
see, the only thing is, when you're on there, you gotta be bad, man. Because you gotta be bad. I mean, You can't be on there like, oh, it hurts. You can't be that guy.
Bruh. I'm sitting here like, bruh. So,
you got a high tolerance for pain?
The last tattoo session I had, it was a 4-hour sit.
You sat there the whole time, 4 hours?
Yeah, 4 hours.
And, no stop.
No stopping. I didn't take any breaks.
You're an animal.
And
you're a beast.
And the what they do for the competition is 6 hours. I could sit for another 2 hours easily.
That's crazy.
Depends on where it's
not
at.
Me.
It depends on where it's at. It does. So the 4-hour sit was the back of my calf, and there are some.
Like right.
Oh
here.
No! I would
right
never
here.
Get my ribs
right
done.
Cage, yeah.
Never, ever, ever, never. I'm thinking about it though, and maybe you guys can tweet me and let me know what you think about this. At some point, you know, I think I've been around the Falcons enough to where wow, look at that, DJ showing off.
I got a little rib action
tattoo.
But guess what? I lost 10 pounds while doing it because I was sweating and I was...
Oh, shaking.
Oh, my goodness. And I had to lay like this.
Yeah. No,
and it's
worth it?
I couldn't do it.
Worth it?
Oh, no.
No, not worth it.
I mean, I'm glad it's done now, but during the moment, I'm like, I hate myself, you know.
I'm thinking one of my projects in the future is to get, maybe turn a sleeve into like, or little icons about my life, different areas of my life that,
cool.
You know, turn that into a sleeve. And obviously the Falcons haven't been here for 6 seasons going on 7. I would think a Falcons logo would be appropriate to include in that at some point.
No doubt. You got a credit to years, man. You're good to go.
I think so. I think
you get a credit, you're good to go.
If I get to 10 years, I think it's a good possibility.
Decade would be nice.
We'll ink. We'll ink for 10 years.
I got a G tattoo, and I was only there 4 years. So I mean, you can do that.
Yeah, that's in your blood. I mean, I could get a Falcons logo right now, and I think I'd be completely fine with it. Do you know who has an NFL tattoo that's on the Falcon cast?
John Michael.
Yep. Is it? Oh, the Dolphins.
It
yeah.
Ain't a Falcons tattoo. I'll tell you that.
And you're getting paid by 92.9 to talk about the Falcons.
He's going to be so mad that we just outed him right now.
It happened, J-Mike. That's what happens when you ain't here, baby. You can't,
defend
yourself.
What happens when you go to meet and greets, baby.
No doubt.
All right, so NFL Network's Elliot Harrison this week released a list of the top 5 Falcons of all time. Now, we could do a whole show.
Oh, my goodness.
We could do a 2-part show on this.
And we will still not agree.
And we will still not agree, and y'all won't agree with us, and you'll disagree with each other, and it's, you know, we've tried in years to peg down who is the number one Falcon. My second year here, I put together a bracket. The fans' favorite Falcon is what we called it. I put together a bracket series based on fan voting. The fans voted Jesse Tuggle as the number one all-time Falcon.
Nice.
And that was a lot of fun. Jesse actually was thrilled by it. We did an interview with him and all that kind of stuff. And so that was a lot of fun to run through and see. But Elliot Harrison's list is very, very different than what you might expect. So at number 5, we've got Jesse Tuggle, which I think is, for me, that's low.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's low. Number 4, Roddy White.
Roddy's
thoughts on that?
I think Roddy's up there.
Absolutely.
Roddy has to be. I have no problem with that. I agree with you when Jesse should be higher, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 3, Deion Sanders, primetime.
Deion. I like Deion in that. He's top 5 now.
My issue with him when you...
You think because he went so many different places?
When you compare him to the other guys on this list, he spent, 4 years in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Now, I love Deion, and he's great, and he's...
I don't think he's in front of Jesse.
I don't want to name drop, but I talk to him every now and again. He's a great guy. He's been all over the place, and he's identified with so many different teams that now his impact on the Falcons was gigantic.
Right.
Gigantic. And so in those 4 years, you know, he did a lot of amazing things. But he also had a legacy that went to a lot of other teams. You talk about these other guys, and number two is Mike Ken. Number one, Claude Humphrey. Claude is the only one, as of right now, who went on to play for another team after the Falcons. He played with Philadelphia for, I think, a couple of years. And then Roddy White, it still remains to be seen if he's going to get picked up, and he will. He'll get picked up by another team here. But, you know, Deion spent such a short period of time here in Atlanta, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me throw a name at you that I would put in place of Deion Sanders.
I got a name, too.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll throw this name out. Michael Vick.
Interesting.
You got, because we're going off of what happened on the field.
If we're going off the impact, we're talking about the impact
on the field.
He was the definite impact on Atlanta.
I think you've got to include.
Well, you got the face of the National Football League on your team.
Right.
I was living in Chicago and I had a Michael Vick jersey and loved him.
Right.
I'll tell you guys, when I first got to Flowery Branch, when I got drafted here, when I first walked in the building, the first person that walks around the corner is Mike. And I'm like, dude, I've been watching this guy, and he's the amazing. First guy I meet. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty. I almost didn't say nothing. I was so just in awe. Like
Michael Vick pre 2007 was the truth, and I think you could argue that his impact off the field was maybe just as big or bigger than his impact on the field. And you know, so that's
all right. I got two names for you. First one is a guy, local guy. Played for many years. I know a lot of people go back and forth on him, but the Yellow Jacket, Mr. Keith Brookie. Where does Keith Brookie line there?
That's interesting because if you bring that name up to the fans, he's very polarizing.
Right.
I don't know, and I wasn't here when he.
Not to say he's top five. I'm saying he's one of the top players.
He's a guy that's in the conversation. I don't know what kind of terms he left on. I've heard that he kind of maybe
when with all the stuff when he went to Dallas and all.
Went to Dallas and maybe said a couple of things. You know.
All right, other name, Steve Barkowski.
Yeah, that's.
There you go. That's another good one.
Bart has to be top five.
And. You know, I think anytime you're gonna talk about best Falcons, you got to start with your Ring of Honor guys too. You know, now there are some guys in the Ring of Honor who are more important to the franchise, I would say, than they got exposure for during their careers, because there are a lot of guys that played on a lot of losing teams. Mike Ken, if he plays for the Dallas Cowboys, he's a Hall of Famer right now. But he played on some bad to mediocre Falcons teams, and that's kind of held him back a little bit, which I think is unfair. That's he, as far as I'm concerned, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, but so does Tommy Nobis. Where does Tommy Nobis fit in? So you got this is always a fun little debate. Throw out Jalen
Riggs. I mean, it's so many guys out there.
So many guys.
Like you said, this list can go.
Yeah, you can do. 5-episode series on this and still not come up with an answer. But just kind of interesting there that the NFL put out this list, and there were some things that I would switch around. But I think that's what these lists are for. You get the conversation going. You know, if you've got any thoughts on this, of course, tweet us and let us know what you think.
Top five Falcons of all time.
Let us know, because that would be really interesting to see what you guys think about that one. All right, let's go over the break with Bosek.
Here we go.
Ready for it?
I'm ready.
If you had a chance to allow one football player to stay in their prime forever, which would you want that to be and why?
Oh, wow. Ooh. How about the word you used in there?
Prime forever?
Prime time. Turning kicks. Nobody he's like walking him, back and he's swinging his arms. Got the crowd going. He's got the long towel. He's got, you know, the spatties. You know,
electrifying.
All the time. Lock down a whole side of the field up in your face.
Yeah.
Fighting with Andre Rison when he was in San Fran or something like that.
The battles between him and Jerry Rice are some of the best that I've ever witnessed in the NFC Championship games.
If you could watch that for 15 years straight in their prime, come on. Them two going again.
And it's so hard, you know. Everybody talks about, you know, somebody like who's the next Jerry Rice or whatever. It just seemed like a different time that you can't really say, you know, Deion Sanders was Deion Sanders before it became so important to have that lockdown corner.
Right, right.
So he was doing something that if he was playing now, he would be like your.
There's like five or six guys who are doing it now. Yeah, I mean.
Exactly. And so it's that's a great one. I think for me, I got to go with my heart on this one, and I got to go with Bruce Smith because nobody terrorized the field, in my mind, short of Reggie White. Like Bruce Smith did.
I hate to see a guy like that.
I loved watching him play. He was amazing. Just a nightmare for offensive linemen and quarterbacks. Very deserving Hall of Famer. But, man, you keep.
Good call.
I mean, he was at training camp.
Good call.
Brian Cox brought him to training camp last year, and I saw him, and I'm like, this guy could still play.
He's at a very high level. Yeah. Good call, though. Good call on Bruce Smith. I like that.
I'm going with the guy we previously talked about. Staying in their prime forever would be Michael Vick. Stay in his prime.
Hey,
don't do
fair.
Anything else off the field, man. Just it keep going.
Just
what you're doing in 04, 05.
You know, I was on the sideline with this guy in one game, 06, my rookie year. He's come to the sideline. He's mad. Something happened, right? He just goes, I'm finna freaking take off. Next play, they go out. Next series, he goes for 60 like that.
Oh,
he was just that much better than everybody else. And if you could stay in that, that's not even right,
man. Yeah.
But he would have to be in the prime the way guys are now. The prime like a Von
right.
Miller, those guys, because they can
run
it down now.
But I will add this caveat because I agree with you. That would be a great one to have in your prime. You got to have him with one of those sure-handed guys that he can escape to. If his running lane is cut off, how many times did Algie Crumpler bail him out in situations where
they crumped off?
I mean, Crumpler was just as sure as they came. With Michael, and so you've got to factor that in. But man, it would be fun to watch him play, you know, in his prime again.
What about a guy like Barry?
Yep, Barry Sanders.
Oh my goodness!
I think Barry Sanders, Jim Brown, Walter Payton, Randy Moss,
so many guys.
Randy Moss. Oh man,
there are just so many guys you'd love to just keep in their prime and just keep them forever.
That wouldn't even be right.
The only place they exist is up in your head and on the NFL films highlights. But yeah, that's a good question.
Thanks.
That's a good question,
Bob.
I didn't
want
to go off the rails this week. I wanted to stay football.
That was a good one, man.
Lisa, what was the question last week? I still haven't listened to the. Do you remember
if
what
you
it
could
was?
Live inside any TV show, which TV show would you want it to be?
We had two
by
or
the
three.
Bell.
Saved by the Bell.
Man,
you and Zach, or you'd be AC.
I would be taking out Zach and AC because Kelly Kapowski's mine.
Screech, you had to fight Screech for it, man.
No, yeah. Screech is worried about Lisa Turtle.
He
I'm
is,
not,
but
I'm
he if he had a chance with Kelly, he would be with Kelly.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You don't know that.
No?
You don't know that.
Come on.
You can't say
come
that. You don't know
on.
That because he was so infatuated.
He was,
by,
but come on. They're on the same level.
Listen, man, nobody could hold a candle to Kelly Kapowski. so that's where I would be probably. So there's, I know nobody asked me, but that's my answer
yeah,
for that.
Good to hear.
No. All right, time for our final play. And the question is, does anybody have anything? I've got something.
Good.
That I know that a lot of podcast listeners want us to.
But before we get to the final play.
Sorry.
Before we get to the final play, can we talk about the final play from last week? Can we do that again? Can we? Thank you.
DJ Shockley, the champion
again
for Picks to Click.
We gave you Syracuse. We said who would win
the
NCAA championship.
Oh, yeah.
Gave you Syracuse. I took Nova. Yeah.
I had
John
Oklahoma,
Michael,
John had North
Carolina.
North Carolina.
I just love that there were two Falcons connections in that national title game with Brian Finneran doing the team stream for Villanova and then West Durham doing it for UNC. I mean, how rare of a situation is that to have two people tied very closely to your organization who are doing the color commentary for their respective teams?
Top five finish, too.
Oh, gosh.
Top five fantasy.
Forget it. Absolutely. So, funny story. I didn't have the game on because I'm a loser like that. I was actually.
No idea what you're doing.
I was reading a book. I know.
Reading a book? I know.
But I was in a hotel in Nashville, and I knew when the game was over because the entire hotel erupted.
Really?
I had the door closed. I had like a little fan on. I was like just so it's not like I had it dead silent in my room, and I could hear everyone in the hotel screaming and going nuts. And it was crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was a great finish. I'm glad I at least saw the replay 5,000 times.
It was awesome, man.
It was unreal.
But back to the final play, let's talk about a question that a lot of Falcons fans who listen to our Falcon cast have tweeted us, emailed us in some cases. Mm-hmm. All right, so we've got about 4 or 5 episodes under our belt here.
Audio only.
Audio only.
Sir.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We explained in the first episode there that, look, we wanted to be a little bit more relaxed. I think it's been
great.
Very relaxed. I'm relaxed.
Most relaxed I've been right here.
And I think ultimately, if you were any more relaxed, you'd be dead.
They knew half the stuff we're doing as we're talking.
I know. I think ultimately it ends up with a better show. We tried to do some with a GoPro. That got nixed. So
people just enjoy seeing our face, though.
The final play question is: do we go back to video, or do we stick to our guns here and go audio?
We need to put the poll out there, man.
Put the poll out there. All right, you guys out there, if you've made it through this part of the Falcon Cast, then you are absolutely one of our top
no doubt.
Listeners and fans.
Because 56 minutes in.
56 minutes in. Shouts out to you as well. But you are absolutely one of our fans. So the people who may have made it to this point can chime in and tweet me, Shock, and Bosek about your thoughts on the video. And be nice, for crying out loud. Just say, hey, we prefer the video. Or, no, I like the audio, it's fine. Don't tell us if it was stupid or what. We're going to try new things. Just relax.
We love your opinions, guys.
Don't get me all riled up and sarcastic and snooty and all that stuff on Twitter.
It gets funny. Oh,
it gets funny, but my goodness, I got enough on my plate. So just, you know, tweet us, let us know, be nice. And, you know, next week we'll make a decision. I'm going to tell you right now that the desk is out. We're not going back to the news desk. We're not a news show.
No news show.
If we're going to do video, it's going to be casual. It's going to be, there are going to be couches. Oh, there are going to be,
that'll be
DJ likes to stop.
There might be a ficus, fake or real ficus there.
A falcon. Put a falcon in a cage or something.
We could have a real live falcon in a cage.
That'd be nice.
That would be worth having video for.
But
let us know. I think you know, we've done enough of these where you guys can truly tell us what you prefer. Again, if you've gotten to this point in the Falcon Cast, chances are you've been watching us or listening to us for a while, so you've got some perspective here. We will listen to you ultimately. This is your show, way more than it is ours. So we'll do what is asked of us. But let us know. We're very comfortable right now.
Sit on the couch with wireless mics.
So as long as John can still wear sweatpants and Shock can still wear shorts,
we have a show.
So I think you know, and if we go back to video, maybe I'll wear the cowboy boots on the video.
Oh, there
one
you
day.
Go.
That's not incentive
you
to
tweet those
the
out.
Cowboy boots
tweet
would
the
be a
out.
Must.
I will. So that's the final play. Y'all send us in your suggestions for the Falcon Cast. We always take your opinions into account. Also, if there's ever a topic you want us to discuss, you got an idea, hey, shoot it over.
Or if you got a break with Bosek question.
If you got a break with Bosek question, anything.
Got to be clever for the break with Bosek, though. You
got
to be.
You got to come with it now. So feel free to tweet us and let us know anything that's on your mind. Thank you to you guys for all your work as well. DJ Shockley, Brian Bosek. Maybe we'll have John Michaels next week.
Maybe.
Maybe if when the schedule comes out, maybe, who knows? We could have any number of things happen in the next week. Remember, you can catch us on iTunes if you have one of those cool smart devices. So go on to iTunes. Search us out, Falcon Cast, and hit the subscribe button. If you like us, please, please, please leave us a nice review and maybe a 5 or 4-star ranking. We would certainly appreciate that. That always helps. So,
no doubt.
We appreciate all of you out there. We look forward to talking to you all weekend and during next week on Twitter. And we will see you next week.
See ya.
See ya.